This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 221.
This podcast is brought to you by Revant Optics. If you own sunglasses, you know scratches happen. But with Revant Optics, you can replace your lenses and save your sunglasses. They offer high quality, polarized, non-polarized, and prescription replacement lenses for any brand. Go to revantoptics.com/MTA. That's revantoptics.com/MTA to get 20% off your first pair of lenses.
This podcast is also brought to you by Virtue Labs. 6 years ago, a group of bioscientists discovered an incredible new protein called alpha keratin 60KU, a whole human protein that's identical to the keratin in your own hair. It has the ability to resurface and fill in cracks from damage, which means more bounce, more shine, and more strength for your hair. And now you can get it exclusively in Virtue Labs' line of shampoos, conditioners, and styling products. Just visit virtuelabs.com and use the code MTA to try Virtue at 10% off plus free shipping. That's virtuelabs.com. Use the code MTA.
Hello and welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where we inspire and equip you to conquer the distance. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, Angie shares tips on half marathon success for both beginners and experienced runners. Plus, we'll tell you about the first ever MTA virtual half marathon coming soon to a running route near you. And of course, to get our help in your training, find out how to connect with us and our awesome online community when you visit marathontrainingacademy.com. So in the last episode, we talked about how you were going to sign up for this race in Vermont. You scrapped that plan. Now you're signed up for a race in Wyoming.
That's right. I mean, you know, so they're so close together.
Yeah.
I decided after considering the course in Vermont, it was a three-loop course.
Mm-hmm.
I decided I didn't want to do three loops of that course.
Why? Just too monotonous?
It was extremely challenging, which would have given my current fitness a run for its money. Plus, three loops of the same course. I know by the third loop that I would have been cursing myself.
You haven't run a marathon since last September.
Exactly. So I've taken about a year off from racing, and I figured my debut again should not probably be something that is going to completely hammer my body. So I decided to sign up for the Jackson Hole Marathon in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Beautiful place.
Yes, a gorgeous location. And I have a friend coming down who's going to do the half marathon. So I'm excited about that whole trip. How about you, Trevor? You have something new on the schedule too.
Yeah, I don't know if I talked about last time or not. I signed up for the Spartan Beast in Vermont, which will be in September. That'll enable me to complete my trifecta, three Spartan races in one calendar year. And as of like 2 days ago, I signed up for the Munich Marathon in Munich, Germany, which is on October 8th. So I'm very excited about going back to Germany. We went to Berlin last year. I found a really great deal on a round-trip ticket to Munich for less than $600. So I went ahead and got that and registered for the Munich Marathon. I've heard so many great things about the race, and of course, I've never been to Munich either, so lot to experience and enjoy.
And I'm sure there's an Oktoberfest Stein with your name on it already.
That might have been another factor that led me to decide to go. Yeah, I'm going to get there the last day of Oktoberfest, which is October 3rd there in Munich. So it's not really a great way to prepare for a marathon. But
when have you ever prepared well?
That's true. I'm tend to be a lazy runner.
But you are preparing and brushing up your German, so.
That's right. If you're going to be at the Munich Marathon this year, shoot me an email. Send it to trevor@marathontrainingacademy.com. Love to hear from you. So we got some very nice messages that we want to read here real quick before we get any further in this episode.
That's right. I got this email from Jim, and he said, "You guys are the best. Love the podcast. Ironically, I listened to the latest episode while running abroad in Greece. When Courtney Shock mentioned that she had dogs chase her and uneven surfaces, it was the exact things I deal with in Greece. I do enjoy running in the motherland, but that did put a damper on it." And Jim was referring to our last episode where we talked about running adventures.
Yeah.
So he was listening as he was having his own running adventure. And this note comes from Jacqueline in the Academy. She says, "I ran my first marathon this Sunday near Seattle, the Jack and Jill Downhill Marathon. What an awesome experience. It's hard to describe since I felt so many things during the 4 hours and 21 minutes I was on that trail. But oh man, I do feel different now. Thanks to the MTA community and Coach Jen for helping me finish strong and with no injuries.
That is music to our ears.
That's what we like to hear.
Finishing your first marathon strong and with no injuries. Big congrats to you, Jacqueline. And you beat my first marathon time by 10 minutes because I finished in 4:31.
That's right. And she beat Oprah as well, who beat Trevor.
You always got to remind me about that.
And this last email comes from Alex. He says, "Hi, Angie and Trevor. I'm currently 1,400 miles into my through hike of the Pacific Crest Trail, and I've been listening to your podcast daily for the past few weeks. I'm currently hiking around 30 miles a day, and I'm super excited to start training to run my first marathon once I'm back home. Thanks for being so awesome."
Now that is amazing.
We think you're awesome, Alex.
Yeah. You're living the dream, man. Hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, something that really fascinates me. And it's always fun to hear where people are listening to us. Well, good luck on your through hike and on your first marathon once you get done and get ready to train for that. And hey, I got one more shout out here. We got a really cool email from Gwen, who lives in Texas, and she was an Academy member pretty soon, like right after we launched the Academy. And she's continuing to listen to the podcast. And her company recently had a health fair, and she was encouraged to have a booth at the fair that kind of displayed and celebrated her healthy lifestyle. So she made a running booth, and she emailed me because she wanted to like incorporate the MTA podcast and website. She described her booth to me. She says, "On the left side of my table, I'll have all my bling displayed. On the right side, my laptop with a big monitor and speakers, and I have your Facebook page up on one monitor tab. And I picked some interviews to play on the other. And I found the song Well On My Way on YouTube, and I'll be playing that in the background."
And Gwen has a really neat story that she shared with us as well. She said she started running in 2011, and the MTA podcasts and lessons are the one thing that helped me learn to run, to quit smoking, and to understand that running is my fountain of youth. Because of that, in 2013, I did 12 half marathons, one a month. 10 of those were Rock and Roll Series races, so I achieved all the heavy medals that year. So I'm sure her display of medals was very impressive.
And this episode's all about half marathons, so that fits perfectly. And that's a great challenge. I mean, there's Half Fanatics Club, there's Heavy Metal Series in the Rock and Roll Marathon races where you can collect half marathon medals. So yeah, just another great way to challenge yourself with the half marathon distance. So thank you so much, Gwen, for being a listener and letting us have some small part in your running journey. Well on my way, well on my way. Well, this episode is all about half marathons. As far as I know, we haven't dedicated a whole episode to just talking about half marathons, so this is the one. It's all about half marathon domination.
Or survival, whichever you prefer.
We want to help you dominate.
That's right.
Dominate your race. Not saying that you're going to win, just saying that you're going to do the best that you can do in the half marathon. And I got to say, I love half marathons. I don't know how many I've run by now, like 14 or 15.
I think you should keep track.
I know. I can go look it up, but I'm too lazy.
The lazy runner and the lazy statistician.
So, Angie, let's just go ahead and start with our special announcement, and then we'll talk about half marathon domination. So, a special announcement. Ready? Drum roll. Go, Angie.
That was a puny drum roll. Yes, we are excited to announce that we are going to be doing the first ever MTA virtual half marathon.
The crowd goes wild.
A small crowd.
Okay, so explain what that means.
Yes, people may be wanting to know what a virtual race is if they have never done one before. So a virtual race is one that you can run or walk in any location. So your favorite running route, on vacation, on the treadmill, on the track, trails, or while running another race. And with a virtual race, you have the flexibility and convenience of running at any time of day and at your own pace. Plus, there's no pre-race logistics, no expo, no crowding, and no smelly porta-pots.
And we will send you the race swag in the mail. I'm sure you folks listen to a lot of podcasts, but how many of you have received something in the mail from one of the podcasts you listen to? Probably doesn't happen that often. In fact, you might not even know for certain that Angie and I are real people, because you've never had anything tangible from us. So we want to put something special in the mail for everyone that registers. So we want to get people out running. We figured a half marathon would have the best chances of that because it's within everyone's immediate reach. 13.1 miles.
Or 21.1 kilometers.
If you've never run that far just on your own, this can be a great challenge for you to work up to because we're encouraging people to run it in the month of November. The official day, if you want to run it on the official day, is November 19th, 2017, which is going to be Angie's birthday. Because Angie, it's so special that you're turning...
39, wow. Last year in my 30s.
So we put it in November because we want people to have plenty of time to get trained up for it. Plus, we're getting a special, one-of-a-kind, ridiculously awesome half-marathon medal made for everyone that signs up. But there's got to be enough time for the medals to be manufactured and get to us and, you know, all that. So, yeah, I got to have some lead time. So the race is going to be in November. Tell folks how ridiculously awesome the medal is going to be, Angie. And who is the evil genius that designed it?
I guess I have to say you. It's definitely unique. Yes, it will turn your head.
Because we've talked about doing a race. You know, when we lived in Missouri, I was kind of trying to get one off the ground there. But we're always traveling, and it's not always convenient for people to come to Missouri anyway. So we've actually been wanting to do something like this for a while, and I've been kind of like planning in my brain like what our medal would look like and stuff. So it's finally happening. It is materializing before our eyes, Angie.
Your vision is coming true.
That's right. So the way it works is you sign up for the virtual race. It's on the honor system. So you run the miles. It's going to be 13.1 or...
21.1K.
And as far as when you want to run this race, like I said, it's going to be in November. You can run on the 19th when everyone else does, or you can run on, you know, any day that's convenient for you. Then we're going to encourage people to like take selfies out on the run and submit them. We'll probably have a pop-up Facebook group, so temporary group around the event, so people can like share their race time and a picture of themselves. We might even have a photo contest.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I'm always fascinated where people live and where they're running at and what they're seeing along their running route. So that'd be kind of a good way to get a little window into the lives of our listeners.
Yeah, that's right. And the goal really is to challenge yourself by training for a half marathon. And this can be your first half marathon or another race that you want to add to your calendar this year, which will, of course, be an additional challenge. And what better way to kick off the holiday season than with a half marathon?
Exactly. Everyone that registers is going to get a totally unique and I think ridiculously cool finisher's medal. They're going to get a high quality technical running hat that says Release the Kraken. They're going to get a half marathon training plan from us if they need one. The plans that we sell over on our website, we'll throw in one of those. And we'll also feature your name and your city with your permission on our website as an official registrant of the race. And we'll also be releasing a special podcast episode in conjunction with the event once November 19th gets there, and I'm sure it's going to get here fast. Angie, I know you want to be podcasting on your birthday, right? So let me tell you about this medal. The medal is 4 inches by 4 inches, so it's a good size medal. I know a lot of times half marathon medals tend to be diminutive. When I was designing it, I was thinking, I want this thing to really stand out. You know, I want it to be that piece of bling that you can put with your other medals that people walk by and they see it and they're like, tell me about that medal.
A conversation piece, right?
So it has sparkly letters. It says, you have what it takes, which you've probably heard that saying before, right?
Sounds a little familiar.
It actually features us giving you a thumbs up. That's right. We are on the medal. Yeah, Angie wasn't too thrilled about that. But best of all, now Angie was especially not thrilled about this. I was going for that like over the top, like ridiculous factor. So I thought, what can I do to make this medal different? I thought, I know, I'll make Angie's head a spinner.
So you can all see the look that Trevor gets for me on a daily basis.
So you can flick Angie's head and it spins and she has quite a look on her face. So anyway, you'll have to check it out. Go to marathontrainingacademy.com/half. You can learn about the race, see what the medal looks like, and get registered. Right now, we have early bird pricing until the end of September. So I recommend going over there as soon as you can and go to marathontrainingacademy.com/half. And no matter where you live, you can participate because we're all one big, happy running family.
That's right.
So anyway, there are some details about that. Now we want to get into some stats and some tips on the half marathon distance.
Yes, like you said, Trevor, the half marathon is your favorite distance. And it's a challenging distance, but also very attainable for most people with some training. And plus, the half marathon is a bit easier to recover from than the marathon distance.
Heck yeah.
Comparing both of them. And I found some interesting stats about the half marathon I thought I'd share. There were 1.9 million half marathon finishers in the United States in the year 2016. So that's not even counting around the world.
It's hard to get statistics from around the world.
It is. I really don't know of a good, reliable site that does that.
Because running in the USA usually does the US statistics.
Yes.
You know, big report once a year.
The half marathon is the second most popular race distance with 12% of finishers. That comes in behind the 5K, of course. There were a total of 2,800 half marathon events in the United States in 2016.
That is going to be 2,801.
I don't know if they count virtual races in that total
or
not. 31 of these half marathons had 10,000 plus finishers. So there's some very large half marathons out there. The half marathon also has the largest composition of female participants at 61%. For females, the median age is 37, and the median finishing time is 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 21 seconds. And on the men's side of things, the median age is 39, and the finishing time is 2 hours and 4 minutes. I have to admit, even though I love the marathon, there have been a few times when the half marathon are split off that I thought, oh, why didn't I sign up for the half? Why wasn't I doing a half marathon in all 50 states instead of a full marathon?
Well, a lot of times a half marathon's like the gateway to a marathon.
Yes. In my case, I didn't run a half marathon before I did my first marathon. But I know for many people, it's that natural progression.
Yeah.
Usually the 5K, you know, maybe a 10K or miscellaneous distance. Half marathon, marathon.
I did a half marathon first. The Little Rock Half Marathon in Little Rock, Arkansas was my first. And it's a fantastic race. But I was so beat up at the end of it that I was like, oh, there's no way I can ever do a full. I mean, I just couldn't imagine wanting to do that, like, you know, back to back, what I'd just gone through like that.
You were limping for days. Wasn't it the race that you thought, you said that you felt like your feet had been slapped by boat oars on the bottom?
Yeah, I was just totally in different shape back then, you know, just a beginner. And yeah, so it's a respectable distance for sure if you're starting out. And it's a long way to run still if you're a beginner.
Yeah, that's right. And how you approach training for a half marathon is going to depend on whether it's your first one, whether you're coming back from injury, whether you're running it just for fun, you know, with friends or something, or whether you're pursuing a personal best. And many runners also use half marathons as training runs in their marathon training.
So let's talk about some tips for first-time half marathoners, and then let's go into some tips for people that are returning and wanting to get faster at the half.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea, because whether you're running your first half marathon or first marathon, we want you to have the most success and the best time possible, and, you know, maybe train a little better than Trevor did his first time around.
That's right.
So you're not dragging around for days afterward. And the first thing we'd recommend is to get fitted for running shoes at a specialty running store. It's so important to have your gait and foot evaluated in the beginning, because getting the right shoes is so important to running comfortably, especially as you build up your miles. The next thing you want to do is to start to build a solid running base. So it's really important to gradually build your mileage up to avoid injury and burnout. You don't want to hurry the process of training. Even though it's possible to do a half marathon on little training, you won't have that fun of an experience if you do. I was actually just reading a story today of a woman whose longest run was 8 miles before her half marathon. And by the time she got to 12 miles, she wanted to quit. And it really took all the efforts of her friend to make her go the remaining 1.1 miles.
Yeah.
So it really is worth your time and effort to go through a whole training cycle, make sure you have that solid running base first, and really do it right.
I mean, even though I've done like 14 or 15 half marathons, still that last mile is always tough on me.
Oh, yeah.
Because somehow your brain says, oh, I'm almost done. Let's conserve energy and let's make you tired. I don't know. You know, there's this central governor theory. Or maybe you just run harder because you're only doing half of a marathon, so you're tired at the end. I don't know why I'm always tired at the end of a half. But when I do a full marathon, I'm not tired at 13 miles in the same way.
If you're tired, then you probably paced yourself too fast.
Yeah.
Or it's a really tough course, whatever the case may be. And if you're new to the half marathon distance, you might want to consider doing a run-walk method. This can be easier on the body and really help you go the distance more comfortably. One popular run-walk method is called the Galloway method, created by Olympian Jeff Galloway, and we've had him on a past episode. So, you know, check that out. It's not like you have to run 13.1 miles without ever stopping. Many people walk through water stops, or they have some sort of run-walk progression that really helps them feel strong. And honestly, in marathons, I've been passed by people doing the run-walk method before. So it doesn't mean that just because you run-walk, you're going to be slower.
Some people really have it down.
They do. Yeah, there's a whole science behind it.
And even if you don't do the Galloway method, you just take strategic walk breaks. No shame in that.
That's right.
Strategic is a key word, though, because it's better than just walking whenever you feel like it, because toward the end, you're always going to feel like it.
Right. It'll be hard to get running again. Next, you want to choose a training plan. So you want to find a smart half marathon plan that's suitable for your level of running. Your first half marathon is not going to be the time to set aggressive time goals. And you want to make sure that you don't choose a plan that has you running 5 to 6 days per week if you're a newer runner or you're coming into training with low weekly mileage. So pick a plan that's appropriate to your level of running, and you're going to have way more fun and enjoy the process more if you don't set your goal way too high.
And we do have half marathon training plans over on our website for all kinds of time goals and ones for beginners and intermediates. So definitely check that out.
And then as you get into training, you want to make sure that you include cross training. Doing focused low impact exercise will make you stronger and a more injury proof runner. So I'm talking about activities like yoga, swimming, cycling, core strength training, Pilates, rowing, and weight training are all excellent ways to supplement your running. And the MTA training plans include at least 2 cross-training days a week so that you are not just running and neglecting other areas of your body. And another thing you'll want to do is avoid chafing. So as your runs become longer, you may notice that your skin rubs together or causes friction with your clothing, which results in chafing. And this can especially be a problem in warmer temperatures where you have sweat and maybe you have that saltiness on your skin that can rub more. So you want to be prepared by using some sort of anti-friction ointment pre-run to eliminate this pain. And it will only take you a couple of painful episodes of chafing to find out what areas you need to prep before your run.
And chafing sucks so bad, Angie decided to include this in her list.
I did, because I think I've had some bad chafing experiences, and it can really make showering painful, the next time you exercise painful, I mean walking painful.
Yeah.
I've seen you hobbling around a few times. Unmentionable chafing.
Oh, you know what? Let me just drop in a song here by our friend, the Resurrected Runner. It's called I've Got Pain in Odd Places. Some of you guys remember the last song that we played from him. It was Ice Bath Baby. Well, he's got a whole host of songs. They're basically running parody songs. So this one's called I Got Pain in Odd Places.
Blame it on the expo. Well, I wanted to go, but with their schedule, I couldn't get there. I'm sure they had in their goodie bag some stuff I could rub, you know where. As I got ready to run my 10th marathon, my pre-race routine was my friend. But as I towed the line, came to my mind, oh no, I did it again. Now I got pain in odd places. I forget to lube up before races. You ask why not? Don't use my brain a lot. When my white race shirt shows blood traces, look at me, I can read their faces. Yeah, I got pain in odd places. Well, it's all over now, and I made it somehow. Soreness is fading with time. Get back to my room, disrobe and I zoom into the shower to wash off this grime. When that water hits these red bloody nips and groin that's raw to the extreme, well, you best plug your ears, 'cause you're gonna hear the mother of all blood-curdling screams. And I got pain in odd places I forget to lube up before races. You say, oh well, but it hurts like hell. Now my nipples bleed and there's more than traces of my groin rub raw and other disgraces. Yeah, I got pain in odd places.
Hope you like that song. That's from our friend, the Resurrected Runner. Another one that he wrote, I don't think it's quite family friendly enough. It's called 50 Ways to Chafe Your Johnson. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll
digress.
Play that. So where were we, Angie?
We were avoiding chafing. And the next thing actually kind of goes in with that, because it is to wear technical running clothes for more comfort. You want to avoid cotton garments, as this fabric doesn't breathe well and can increase the risk of chafing. And you'll find out what kind of items that you can wear for longer runs comfortably in your training, such as finding the right kind of sports bra for women and the right socks for both genders can go a long way to increase your comfort while running.
I mean, look, we've been to races before and we've seen people running in sweatpants, jeans, things you don't want to run in.
Yes, exactly. Maybe they have, you know, skin like a rhinoceros. I don't know. My skin is not like that. It would not hold up well. I mean, there's some sports bras I can't wear for over like a 6 mile run because this is going to tear up my back.
Yeah.
You know, so you just kind of learn in your training what a tried and true race outfit will be. And then you want to wear that on race day. You don't want to be at the expo buying this or that you're going to wear that's new because you don't know how it's going to affect your body.
That's right.
The next thing we advise is to keep a running log. Now, this can be on paper or online, but it's going to help you track your progress and identify any issues before they become big problems. So things that you might want to include in your running log include your mileage, you know, how much time it took you, you know, if you do run-walk intervals, what was working for you that day, what shoes you wore, how you felt, maybe what you used for fueling. There's just a host of things that you can include, and this can be a good resource to look back on. And, you know, if you notice that you're writing down that your legs feel heavy and tired, that's probably a good warning sign that you may be doing too much and you need to include an extra rest day or cut back your mileage a little bit. And then, of course, this leads to listening to your body. You don't want to ignore small issues. If you identify potential aches and pains early and seek help that can help prevent long-term injury, which may derail your half marathon goals. Another key thing to do during your training is to develop a fueling strategy. So as you begin running for over an hour to, you know, potentially over 90 minutes, you may need to consider some type of fuel for sustained energy, especially if you're going to be running at a harder pace. So you want to start experimenting early in your training so that you have a tried and true system for race day. And again, this is one of those areas where you don't necessarily want to take the samples that you get at the expo and then use them the next day during the race. Or, you know, just show up and use whatever the race is offering because you don't know how that's going to settle in your stomach. You don't know if it's going to give you the right amount of energy. You don't know if it's going to send you to the porta pots. Just, you know, a big question mark that you can avoid by practicing in your training what you're going to use on race day. And then, of course, run your own race. It's a temptation when the race starts and everyone jackrabbits off to, you know, feel like you're getting left behind and want to keep up a really tough pace, or you see someone pass you that you don't think should be passing you, but you really just want to focus on pacing yourself well and having the best first half marathon experience that you can have. And that can be done by running your own race and, of course, having fun.
Perfect. Well, now we want to share tips on how to improve at the half marathon distance, how to run a faster half or how to get stronger in the half if you're coming back to it. But before we do, we'd like to thank this episode's sponsor, Health IQ.
Health IQ believes that marathoners and half marathoners are unsung heroes, and they've spent the last few years partnering to get lower rates on life insurance using science and data. They believe the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious, rather than harass and cajole those who are not.
Because what the data shows is that people that run marathons have a 29% lower risk of mortality, a 50% lower risk of heart disease, which should qualify you for a better life insurance rate because you're a good insurance risk. So Health IQ has come along, they've taken the data, and they've negotiated with A-plus insurance carriers to get you a life insurance rate that reflects the health-conscious lifestyle that you live.
That's right. Unlike other insurance carriers, they can cater to runners with things like slow resting heart rates. They measure triglyceride HDL cholesterol ratio in addition to the HDL ratio for people like low carb dieters. They measure waist to hip ratio in addition to body mass index for those with muscular builds. And they minimize the penalty for adverse family health history if you're otherwise healthy.
So head over to healthiq.com/MTA to get a free rate quote and take one of their quizzes. We actually helped them create the marathon quiz. So see what they can do for you. That's healthiq.com/MTA. We'd also like to thank Sunbasket for sponsoring this episode. Sunbasket makes it easier and more convenient to commit to your health and wellness. They send organic and non-GMO ingredients directly to your door. Each Sunbasket meal comes with pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow instructions. And I got to tell you, Angie, I got like some of the best grass-fed beef that I've ever had.
So does this mean that you can start cooking our Sunbasket meals?
It does not.
Oh, no.
You still don't want me cooking.
But this means that you can cook delicious, seasonal, nutritious meals in your own kitchen in just 30 minutes or less. You can choose from a variety of different eating styles like lean and clean, paleo, gluten-free, and vegetarian options, and they're all created by an award-winning chef and approved by nutritionists.
So go to sunbasket.com/marathon today to get 50% off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/marathon for 50% off. Well, after you run your first half marathon, you're curious about if you can do it faster. You know, could I have run that faster? And you're thinking about the next race because it gets kind of addictive.
Oh, yeah.
So now we want to talk about how to dominate at the half marathon if you're coming back to it or if you're trying to get faster, improve your half marathon time, which is a great goal. So, Angie, share some tips for us on improving at the half distance.
Well, first, you want to make sure that you have a solid running base. So you want to make sure that you're comfortable with the half marathon distance before attempting to get faster. And there's kind of a cardinal rule in distance running. First, you want to run for distance and then for speed. So if you're not comfortable running 6 miles, then you probably don't want to start a PR half marathon training plan. You want to be able to get so you can run these longer distance comfortably and having your aerobic endurance really solid before attempting any speed training.
So what does that running base look like? Can you give us an example?
Well, it depends on the runner, but typically we recommend that people do anywhere from 3 to 6 months of easy, regular runs of about 3 to 6 miles per running session. So you get really comfortable running several times per week. This is a good chance to just make sure that your bones and your joints and muscles and ligaments, everything is really up to the task of running faster. And if you're just coming off an injury, that obviously is not a time to be trying to set any kind of PR. You really want to get your body back to be able to run distance comfortably at a slower conversational pace before you attempt to do any speed. So just really, you know, kind of listen to your body in that way. Another thing you'll want to do if you're wanting to race a half marathon is to choose the course wisely. Make sure that you pick a fairly flat half marathon course and train specifically for the challenges the course will have. So let's say, you know, a hilly course or a trail half marathon probably won't be the best place to set a PR unless you run that type of course on a regular basis. Another thing that some people find helpful is to run a marathon in the process. So building up to the marathon distance will make a half marathon seem that much easier. And you can often run a half marathon approximately 3 to 6 weeks after your full marathon to really capitalize on the fitness you've built up from your marathon. So it kind of just puts things in perspective mentally. You know, when you know you've gone the marathon distance, thinking 13.1 miles really gets put into perspective. Not saying that a half marathon is easy by any stretch of the imagination, but it really can help strengthen that mental muscle, well as your body, when you've done the marathon distance before.
After I did my first marathon, I noticed a huge change in my perspective on how easy a half marathon seems now. I wouldn't think twice about going out and doing one tomorrow, because I'm in relatively okay, you know, marathon shape still from training up for the Flying Pig Marathon earlier this year. Another thing, I don't really stress out at all before race morning. I sleep fine because I know that I'm going to go out there and I'm not going to like torture myself as much.
At least for you, it'll be over in 2 hours, give or take some change.
Yeah, with a full marathon, I'm still not there yet. Like, it still feels ominous. Like the night before, this feeling hanging over me, like, what are you about to do to yourself? What are you getting into? I still have a little bit of doubt as to, not if I'll finish, but just...
how much it's going to hurt.
Exactly, how much it's going to hurt. So yeah, half marathons are low stress and low key.
But of course, if you're training for a PR and you're really driven to get that new time, you know, that adds some stress to it.
Sure.
But running that marathon can help you put the distance in perspective and even the pain of setting a PR into perspective as well. And of course, we talk about all the time on this podcast that you should be using smart training techniques. You want to incorporate a rest day each week and at least 1 to 2 focused cross-training days into your training schedule. So consider doing strength training as part of your cross-training days, because it can be a great tool for increasing muscle power and speed. Having a strong core is going to pay off as far as all of your running goes. But, you know, even working on things like squats and lunges and lower body work is just going to really pay off. You'll have more power in your legs. Mm-hmm. And then you want to use quality fuels. Make sure that your eating choices are providing nutrient-dense foods and try to skip the sugary, highly processed foods as much as possible. The food choices that you make really go a long way to improving the performance of your body.
So you're talking about in the days and weeks leading up to the race.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not enough just to clean up your diet a week before the race and expect good results. Often people's PR goals have been jeopardized by poor eating, causing them to have upset stomach and issues on race day. And then, like we've talked about on a recent podcast, you want to focus on form. Think about form when you run and visualize yourself running tall, smooth, and efficiently, keeping your posture upright. And keeping your cadence on the higher end of things is really going to help that leg turnover. It's going to help reduce fatigue in your body. And it's going to help you as you do speed work, which will help your body's biomechanics improve.
Speaking of form and biomechanics, with someone's current running form, there's probably a limit that you're going to reach. Like, that's as fast as that running form will allow you to go. And to improve your time, you're going to have to develop a more efficient form.
Yeah, I mean, things, if you have tightness in your hips that don't allow a good running stride, that don't allow the knee lift that you need, if you have weakness in your glutes that's, you know, supposed to be powering you forward, all those things are going to go into how fast you can get.
And if your form is not too smooth, you don't want to just speed up with that poor form.
Sometimes if you speed up, it will really diagnose what's wrong with your form.
Okay.
But yes, you know, you don't want to be running faster on a form that is potentially going to lead to an injury.
Yeah. We've got some great feedback from that Jonathan Beverly episode we did a couple episodes back on running form. I mean, he really delivered the goods in that interview and a lot of actionable stuff. So if you haven't heard that episode, go back to the MTA podcast feed and look for the running form episode.
And during your training, you're going to want to incorporate a variety of speed training into your schedule. Your body is going to adapt to the demands that you place upon it, so don't be afraid to try new things within the framework of your training plans. Things like interval workouts, tempo runs, mile repeats, and fartleks are going to help you become more efficient in your running and also fitter. And keeping some variety in your training will help so that your body continues to be challenged. Even things like running hills. We always like to say hills are speed work in disguise. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid of the speed work that will be in your training plan, because even though it may not be as comfortable as, you know, just your regular running pace, even though you may dread it a little bit, it's going to help you get faster.
Speed work makes the dream work.
That's right. And you also want to find the fun. Faster running is a new kind of effort, but it doesn't have to be horrible. You can reduce stress by playing speed games and enjoying the differences in pace. And training for a speed goal might just be what you need to break out of a rut. But also, as you think about speed work, you want to make sure that you're taking your easy runs truly easy. So many people kind of have this one training speed, this one zone they do all their runs in, and it's not easy enough to really let your body recover, and it's really not truly hard enough to make any improvements in speed. So when you're doing your easy runs, make sure they are truly easy, that conversational pace or zone two running. And then when you're doing your speed work, make sure that you are fulfilling the requirements of the speed work as well, so that you're training your body's threshold pace, whether you're on a tempo run or, you know, maybe you're doing some lactate threshold training on some intervals. So make sure that your easy runs are easy, and then give it your all on your speed work. And of course, as you do more speed work and as you're challenging your body, you need to expect a little discomfort. Like we talked about earlier, your body is probably adjusted to your normal pace, and it will feel the extra workload as you expect it to go faster. Your lungs and your legs may burn, and you may feel more shortness of breath, but of course you shouldn't be experiencing any sharp or excruciating pain. And as you work on increasing speed, you may notice a little bit more of that delayed onset muscle soreness 24 to 72 hours later. And that means that your muscles are just being challenged in a new way, and this is the path to improvement. But like I talked about earlier, you want to balance those hard runs with recovery days, which is the key to getting stronger. Your body is actually getting stronger when you rest. So if you're continually hammering your body day after day and not giving it any kind of downtime, it simply can't build back stronger. And also be sure to address any nagging issues before they turn into full-blown injuries. Prevention is so much more effective on the road to reaching your speed goals than ignoring problems and having them crop up as you're trying to run faster. And then finally, another thing to do, which is similar to what we talked about earlier, is dialing in your nutrition. If you have excess body fat, then working on a healthy, balanced diet can work hand in hand with your training. So for example, 1 pound of weight loss will make you 2 seconds per mile faster, which can add up over longer distances. So if you have 10 pounds to lose and you lose that, it's going to take 1 minute off your 5K time, which, you know, if you get to the half marathon, that's really going to pay off.
Okay, so Angie, let's say the training goes well and then race day comes. You got any suggestions or tips for how to have the best possible race day? What are some things to think about and concentrate on while you run?
Well, I like to concentrate on everything that I've done to get there. And really, once you line up in the corral before the race, all the work has been done. Your job is just to put one foot in front of the other, to not break down mentally, and to run as strong as possible. We all have these doubts that creep into our head, but if you dwell on them too much, it can actually translate into your body slowing down, and not getting as much out of your body as you can. So I would say really keep your mindset positive. You know, yeah, there's things that can happen, and think about how you deal with them and still continue forward strong. And just really try to enjoy the distance too. I mean, think about the privilege it is to be out there. You have a strong, healthy body. You're doing something that a lot of people are not doing. And, you know, just really trying to keep that headspace as positive as possible.
So when it comes to the half marathon distance, do people talk about split times? Is that something that is just talked about for a full marathon? Does one even need to like concentrate on running a negative split? Like let's say the 6.5 mile mark or something.
Yeah, I mean, the most success in, I would say, any race distance is a negative split or even splits. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to start out too fast like we talked about earlier. You really want to keep yourself reined in during the first probably 2/3 of the race. And if you do that, you'll find yourself passing people in the later miles, which is much more fun than being passed. So don't do too much too soon and end up with no energy by mile 10. If you pace yourself correctly and watch your mile splits, then you can really have a much better race experience. And as you do your training, you're going to figure out what a realistic race time will be for you based on your long runs. You'll be able to kind of figure out if you're on target for your PR.
I love getting to mile 10 in the half marathon. It's just a good round number. Feels like you've gone a long ways. And at that point, you're only 3 miles away from finishing.
Yeah, think of all the times that you've done a 5K before.
Exactly. I even know in my head like how far it is back to the house from, you know, a certain point. So I'll tell myself, Oh, 3 miles, that's only from here to there. And I'll have in my head this, my running route. So I know approximately 3 miles out from our house and back. And so, yeah, I'll just say, how many times have I done this? This is no problem. Even though I'm feeling fatigued, it's in the bag. I've got it.
That's right. Yep. Keep that mental chatter on the positive side. Remind yourself that you can do it. Think of all the times in the past that you've overcome challenges and just try to enjoy the process.
All right. Well, that does it for our tips on running your first half marathon or running a better half marathon. It is the most popular distance outside of a 5K. You can find a race just about anywhere. It's so great that more and more people are coming into the sport and are training for half marathons. And we've been to a lot of races, and there's always more half marathon runners than there are at the full. So like at the Rock and Roll Marathon, I think the Rock and Roll series kind of caters to half runners. And by the time the half marathoners split off, the course is like barren and empty.
Where'd everyone go? Yeah.
You're just out there in the back.
They're back eating the food, drinking the beer already.
Yeah. And you're like meandering through town in the hot sun.
The nosebleed section of the course.
You're going through like the industrial district. By the time you get there, yeah, all the half marathoners have like eaten all the good food.
You're like, oh, a dry bagel. Just what I wanted.
No, it's all good. But they cost about the same amount of money now. Have you noticed that?
Right.
Like if you do a popular half marathon, it's going to be $100 and it's going to be about the same to sign up for the full. And a lot of times the medals are the same size now.
That is a travesty.
I always tease you about that. If we go out and do a race and I do a half and you do the full and we get the same medal, I'm like, look, I got the same medal with half the work.
Yeah, I don't like it when they do the non-specific ones where it's like 13.1, 26.2, 5K, 10K.
And they just combine it all in one.
Pet race.
Relay.
It's like, no. Make me feel special. So that's why we wanted to make our virtual half marathon medal very special.
That's right. It is special. The MTA Podcast Virtual Half Marathon. It's our first ever virtual race. We hope to do one every year and commission a new medal every year to see what this year's medal looks like. Head over to the website where you can get registered. It's marathontrainingacademy.com/half. Thanks so much for being a listener. That wraps up this episode. Thanks again to Revent Optics. If your sunglasses are all scratched up, head over to Revent Optics. They got you covered. They have replacement lenses for any brand, and you can save 20% off with the code MTA. Well, until our next episode, folks, keep taking action toward your goals. And we'll leave you with this one final thought. You do have what it takes to run a marathon.
Or half marathon.
Thank you, Angie, right on cue. And change your life.